Welcome to Vegas Dave's Dive.
Hello everybody, Vegas Dave Consolazio here. Thank you for joining me for another edition of Vegas Dave's Dime. Once again, I wanted to thank everybody for all the feedback on the gambling versus steroids debate I've been having with myself over the last couple of shows. If you haven't already, I would definitely recommend that you check out the comments section under those two shows and read some of the comments. We got some really good ones from some of my listeners, and both sides were covered pretty well, so I was very happy to see that, because seeing as I just talked to myself on this show, I will sometimes need to count on my listeners to give me some feedback to bounce off of, and you all definitely stepped up and did that, so I appreciate it. But today we're moving on to Manny Ramirez, who made history Saturday with his 500th home run off of the Baltimore Orioles. And it was in true Manny fashion. As soon as he got a hold of it, just dropped the bat and started to walk very slowly to first base. He knew it was gone. Everybody knew it was gone. And I'm such a sucker for moments in sports history. I mean, it just is so amazing to me to see a player hit a milestone that so few players before him have hit. And I just think about all the times that I've gone up to my dad and asked, "Dad, tell me about Joe DiMaggio. What was he like? Or was Lou Gehrig good? Tell me about him." You always ask your parents about the generation before you. And it just is awesome to me that when I have kids someday, and don't worry if my girlfriend is listening, by someday I mean very far away, that someday my kid will ask me, "Dad, how good was Manny Ramirez? He hit 500 home runs while you were watching. How good was that guy?" And I can tell him the story of Manny Ramirez, about how his reputation was always of being a jovial, lackadaisical guy. He never took things too seriously. He was always being playful out there. And on the surface, it just looked like he was having a really good time. And he's the kind of guy that you love to love or love to hate for those very reasons. He's always having a good time. Sometimes his on and off-field antics have gotten him in trouble with the fans, with his manager, whatever, but they coined the phrase Manny being Manny for a reason. And I'll get to that in a minute, but first I just want to look at him as a player. He became only the 24th member of the 500 Home Run Club, including his 20 Grand Slams, which is second all-time, only behind Lou Gehrig. It doesn't include his 24 postseason home runs, which is the highest number of playoff home runs in baseball history. And it just really goes to show you how clutch of a hitter Manny Ramirez is. The Grand Slams and the postseason home runs. He always seems to get the big hit when it counts. 500 home runs, 1,638 RBIs. That's in the top 25 of all time. And a .312 career batting average. And that's what's great about Manny Ramirez. He doesn't just hit the long ball. He gets doubles, singles, just good clean base hits too. He's an incredible hitter. But getting back to Manny the personality, you know, like I said, they have the term Manny being Manny for a reason. And I can't begin to go over all of the times that he's earned that reputation. And I would definitely recommend that you check out Wikipedia. They have a list on there of all of the noteworthy times that he's just being Manny. And it's really funny to relive some of them. One of my favorites, in 2003, he said in an interview, this was while he was a Boston Red Sox, that he would like to play for the Yankees. Not too smart for a Red Sox to say that. This was in the midst of him missing a couple of games because he was saying he was too sick to play. Right after this interview, the day he misses a game because he's too sick to play, he's spotted in the downstairs bar of his hotel with Enrique Wilson of the Yankees. Priceless. Priceless Manny. Just a couple weeks ago, as he was running out in the field to make a great catch, he caught the ball, jumped up the wall, high-fived a fan, turned around, and threw the ball to first base to get the double play. That's Manny being Manny. High-fiving a fan in the middle of making a great play. And going back to that situation in 2003, those comments, that situation, him refusing to pinch hit in the game, trade rumors, some brought up from fans, some brought up from Manny himself, led to Manny being put on waivers in 2003 because the new management was trying to get rid of that huge contract to try and build and go in a different direction. They were paying him $20 million a season. And all of the other 29 teams in the league passed. Now, granted, most teams can't afford a $20 million contract, but it's just so interesting to think about that now. Because in 2004, without him batting in that three spot and David Ortiz batting in that four spot, you just don't have the championship team that you ended up having. The two of them together led that team to the World Series. And you'd still have Red Sox fans complaining today about Babe Ruth's curse. But because Manny was there, and he was such an important part of that offense, especially in the playoffs, he and David Ortiz, with all the clutch hits they had, were the reason that the Red Sox were able to break that curse. And even in 2007, he received a lot of heat for saying, if they lose to the Cleveland Indians, it's not the end of the world. He got completely ripped apart by the media, by fans. And I remember thinking then, everybody was saying, oh, that's just Manny being Manny, da-da-da. And I was thinking to myself, what's wrong with him saying that? He was hitting well. He's going out there trying his best. But it isn't the end of the world. I mean, I love sports. I put sports ahead of most things that are more important than sports. But at the end of the day, I have to accept the fact that sports is just a game. It's a bunch of very talented athletes getting paid a lot of money to go out there and play a game they love for a living. It's just a game. And he's right. It wouldn't be the end of the world if they lost. And yet he got ripped apart for it. But then he also got a free pass because he was just Manny being Manny. It's just funny to me that this guy's personality on and off the field makes people forget sometimes that he is without a doubt one of the great hitters of all time. One of the great hitters of our era. And it was a pleasure to see him get to 500 today. The other thing that happened today was the Stanley Cup Finals were essentially wrapped up with Detroit beating Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. Detroit proved in the first two games of the series that they were the better team, the stronger team. But Pittsburgh had one thing going for it, and that was how well they were playing at home. They hadn't lost a game at home. Their stretch of 9 straight wins at home was one of the best in playoff history. And if they could keep winning their home games, they could have forced it to a Game 7. But by losing this game, the series is essentially over, because now they have to win 2 games in Detroit. And that's nearly impossible. And I have to jump on the calling out of Evgeny Malkin bandwagon here. Because there are people calling out Evgeny Malkin of the Pittsburgh Penguins for being a complete no-show in the Stanley Cup Finals. And then there are the people who are saying, you can't just call out one player. That's not fair. But in this case, I think it is. Evgeny Malkin had 47 goals and 59 assists during the regular season for 106 points. When Sidney Crosby got injured, everybody said the Penguins would absolutely fall apart because they couldn't survive without Sidney Crosby. And Evgeny Malkin single-handedly put the team on his shoulders and carried them until Sidney Crosby got back. Evgeny Malkin went out there and dominated the league when he was put in the spotlight. And from seeing that, and from seeing these stats, and he was a second overall pick behind Alexander Ovechkin, he'd be a first overall pick 8 out of 10 years. Considering how talented this kid is, there's no excuse for him completely disappearing this late in the playoffs. His first 10 games in these playoffs, he had 8 goals and 9 assists. He had 17 points through 10 games. In his last 8 games, the ones that have mattered most, against Philadelphia in the conference finals and against Detroit now in the Stanley Cup finals, he has 1 goal and 1 assist. And those were both in the Philadelphia series. He has 0 points against Detroit. And don't get me wrong, you have to give a lot of credit to Detroit, especially Lidstrom, Cronwall, Chelios. These guys are extremely tough to score on. Detroit is always amongst the league leaders in goals against for that very reason. But when you are a superstar and you are a player that carries your team, you cannot disappear this late in the season. This is the basketball equivalent of Kobe Bryant not showing up in the playoffs. This is Kobe Bryant going out there, and let's say there's a very good defender on him, and just putting up 4 points in the whole game. Just doing nothing. Disappearing when the team needs him most. That's what this is the equivalent to. So you would have to give some credit to the guy defending him, because obviously he was doing something right. But when you're dealing with an elite player, like a Kobe Bryant or an Evgeny Malkin, I don't care who's defending you. You have to make some plays. And he is absolutely not doing it. And so can you pit this loss solely on Evgeny Malkin? Of course not. Detroit has shown clearly enough that they're the better hockey team. And they're going to win this series. But this series could be a lot closer and a lot more fun if one of its superstars was playing his game. And it's a shame that he's not. So on that note, I guess I'm going to wrap things up. Thank you, as always, for joining me here on Vegas Dave's Dime. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at vegasdavesdime@gmail.com. Have a good one, everybody.